Marriage Today presents A Daily Dynamic Prayer Life by Jimmy Evans.
When I got saved, I'm so grateful for the people who preached the gospel to me so that I could receive Jesus Christ. They didn't tell me anything else. They did not instruct me in how to live the Christian life and how I could, you know God for myself. They told me I should read my Bible and pray, but they didn't tell me how to do it. So I want to explain what I've learned through 39 years of being a Christian and how to pray. But, you know, one day I was trying to pray. I don't know how long I'd been saved, maybe a year or so. And I just knew I should wake up in the mornings and I should read my Bible and pray. Constantly battled being sleepy, constantly battled my mind wandering. And one day I was trying to pray and wasn't very successful at it. And this thought came through my mind that just said, if God loves me and if God knows everything about me, why do I have to pray? I mean, why do I have to go through this if God really loves me and he already knows what I'm going to pray? That's what the Bible says. Then why do I have to do this? And I struggled with that for a while because it was like, you know, God, you before I ever ask for anything, you know what I need. So why do I have to go through the motions? Do you really love me? I mean, do you really care about me? Well, let me answer two questions in this message. First is why we pray, and the second is how we pray. And I want to begin by talking about why we pray. And this is very important. And there are three main reasons for prayer that we need to understand. The first reason for prayer is acknowledging God and allowing him into our lives both generally and specifically. Well, let me say this. You do realize there are people that don't want God's help. There are atheists in this world. They don't believe in God. And they're not inviting God in any way into their lives. Well, but let's just say we're talking about Christians here, a person who gave given their life to Christ. You do understand now that there are Christians who believe they can handle life without God. That's what prayerlessness is, a boast against God. A day without prayer is a boast against God. And what we're saying is, I can do this without you. I can do my relationships without you. I can do my finances without you. I can do my job without you. I can live life successfully without you. God is not going to force his way into any person's life because a relationship has no value if it's forced. Every single day, what prayer says to God is, I need you in my life. Both generally in the sense that, God, I need you in my life, but specifically, I need you in my finances. I need you in my marriage. I need you in my body. I need you in my decision making. God absolutely loves that, and he responds every time when we acknowledge him. But listen, prayerlessness is not acknowledging God. It is saying to God, I can do this without you. So prayer is inviting God into our circumstances, and he just simply won't come without that. It doesn't mean he's not in our hearts and we're not on our way to heaven. It's just saying he's not going to join our lives and partner in our lives without us asking him to do that, because that's what relationship is about. Number two reason that we pray is to build a prioritized personal relationship with God. You know, if you would have come to me, you know, 38 years ago after I got saved, and you'd have said, who's the most important person in your life? I would say Jesus. And then if you ask, who's the second most important? I would say Karen. But those were the two people I didn't want to talk to. You know, I didn't understand why I had to talk to Karen. You know, she always wanted to talk, and I thought, A, she's nosy. And you don't feed the monster. You know, when you give information to a nosy person, if you want to kill a monster, starve it. Don't feed it. And so she always wants to talk, and she wants to know, hey, where'd you go today? Who'd you talk to? What'd they say? How'd you feel about that? And I'm just thinking, I've got to starve that monster. And I've got to be strong. I can't crack. I've got to be strong. So I would come home at night, and here she goes. She would want to talk. And so she wanted to talk, you know. And then the Lord wanted to talk to me. But I just thought, why do I have to pray? I mean, does God get some enjoyment out of me being miserable and just sitting there trying to pray? Now, let me say, it is impossible to know a person that you don't talk to. It's not possible. And you say, I want to know Jesus. Great. Here's how you know Jesus. You talk to him and he talks back. Prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. We talk to God and God talks to us. And so I didn't understand that back then. Honestly, to me, prayer was a religious thing that I was doing to satisfy God. My concept of God was so distorted because, you know, honestly, I thought, you know, maybe God gets some kind of enjoyment out of watching us sleepy and distracted and just fighting to be religious. That we're down here praying and our minds are wandering and the devil's attacking us and all these things are going on and God's saying, suffer. Suffer in the name of Jesus. And the longer you sit here miserable, the more I like it. And you're winning brownie points. That was kind of my concept. And I just thought, how long can I sit here and battle this? Can I tell you this? Our God is a loving, wonderful God. He just loves being with us. He loves hanging out with us. He misses you when you don't show up for prayer. God wants a personal relationship with us. Let me say this about Karen. When I started talking to Karen, because when God changed my heart, because we almost divorced, when God changed my heart and I began to talk to Karen, it healed something in me that was broken. And I like talking as much as she does. Karen doesn't have to make me talk. She's my very best friend. I love talking to Karen. I love talking to God. When I began to pray in a relational manner, not in a religious manner, and I learned how to pray, it healed everything in me that was broken. Because he just wanted Jimmy time. That's what prayer is to God. It's just time with his children. It's time with us. It's a relationship, not religious. But to build, if you're saying that Jesus is the most important person in your life, you're saying, I talk to him a lot. Because you can't say a person's important when you don't talk to them. And you can't build a relationship with a person that you don't know. Here's the third reason that we pray, is to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's given us the ability to do for ourselves. And he's given us an incredible ability to do for ourselves. I want to remind you, when God created man, Adam and Eve, on the earth, he gave them dominion over the entire earth. And here is what Psalm 115:16 says. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Now, do you realize we can have anything in our city that we want. We can have anything in our state or our nation that we want. This is ours. If you want your home full of righteousness, your home be full of righteousness. If you want your home full of love, your home can be full of love. If you want your home to be full of hate, if you want your home to be full of wickedness, this is our earth. We are custodians of this earth for an appointed period of time. And so he's given us this earth, and we have authority over this earth. Luke chapter 10. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample upon serpents, and that's the devil, scorpions, those are his powers and principalities, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That verse of scripture is so incredibly powerful, it's hard for us to absorb. Jesus says to the disciples, I've given you the authority to put Satan under your feet. You trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and if you'll do that, nothing shall by any means harm you. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. When you're praying, part of praying is exercising the authority that we have over the things that are coming against us in this life. And so that God will not do for us what he's given us the ability to do for ourselves, and God has given us incredible authority in this life. One other scripture, Matthew 18, verse 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say that two of you agree on earth as concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. When Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth, that word means to disallow. It means not permit. Whatever you don't permit here on this earth, I won't permit in heaven spiritually. Whatever you loose on this earth, the word loose means allow. Whatever you allow spiritually on this earth, I'll do it. And if two of you come together, this is a man and a wife, this is friends, Christian friends, if two of you come together in agreement over something that you would ask, he says, my Father will do it. He has given us incredible authority in this life, and all we have to do is take it. All we have to do is use it. And so why do we pray? We pray to invite God into the affairs of our lives, both generally and specifically. I pray to build a personal relationship with God, and I pray to use the authority that God has given me that he won't use for me. But he has given me the ability to use it, and he will honor it if I use it. So when you're asking yourself that question, why should I wake up and pray in the morning or pray in the evening or whatever your best prayer time is why should I do that? For those reasons right there, and probably more, but those are just the main ones. The second question is, how do we pray? Let me try to answer that. I wake up in the mornings. Now, Karen and I are morning people, so we wake up very early. And we go to different places in the house, and I have an office in our home, so I go to my office. Karen goes to her little reading area. And I journal. I use a little online journal. I journaled for many years, and I literally have stacks of journals I don't know what to do with. So I went to an electronic format, and it's called Penzu. It's an online journal. I love it. It's easy to archive. It's easy to recall things that you've written down before. And so I journal, I just write down about, you know, what the Lord is saying to me, significant things that are happening, the way I feel about this and that. It's just kind of therapeutic. I just like writing that kind of stuff down, especially what God's saying to me, and I can go back later and read it, and it becomes very important. And then I read the Word. I read the Word in a year, and actually, I wrote this website down for you. It's a pretty neat website that I started using last week. It's called www.oneyearbibleonline.com. And you can go on there, choose any version of the Bible that you want, and it gives you, right there on the webpage that you go to, it gives you all the scriptures to read from the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs every day to read through the Bible in 1 year. It's a really neat website, and there are many other resources like that that are available. And I pray according to the way I'm about to tell you right here, the way Jesus told us to pray. And I pray and I listen and I talk. This morning when I was praying before I came here, I start praying and God starts talking and I just sit there and listen and I pray more and I listen more. And I know how to hear God's voice after, you know, listening to Him for all of these years. Everyone can hear God's voice. When you're born again with spiritual ears that can hear God's voice. And so here's how Jesus specifically taught us how to pray. Your quiet time, by the way, it can be in the morning, it could be at noon, it could be at night, just whatever your best time is, it needs to be protected. That's why we call it a quiet time. It needs to be a time that you can get away from the kids, from the noise of life and business of life, and just be by yourself for as long as you can to spend time with God. So here's what Jesus said about prayer. This is Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, first of all, Jesus told us two things not to do when we pray. Don't go out in public and pray to impress people. Now, corporate prayer is a great thing. When you're praying with another believer or a group of believers for something, that's great. But the Pharisees were religious people. They were a bunch of hypocrites. But they would go out in public and put ashes on their head and wear sackcloth and stand in a public place praying just to make everybody think that they were really spiritual people. Jesus said, if you do that, the only reward you're going to get is people seeing you and thinking something about you. He said, when you pray, you go into the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret place will reward you openly for praying that way. The other thing that Jesus told us not to do was vain repetition. This is true in Hinduism as an example. But it's a mantra. Again, if you go to Jerusalem today and you go to the Western Wall, you will hear a mantra. People just repeating the same thing over and over. And their concept of God is up there distracted, and somehow I've got to do something so remarkable as to get His attention. I used to know a guy when I first got saved, and he would pray like this, Jesus, 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 and he would do that for a long period of time. Let me tell you, that is annoying. I just know God is very annoyed by that. You know, go up to your friend and just say, Bob, 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 God is not some religious monster up there that's trying to get us to perform so he'll like us. He is our daddy, and Jesus said he knows what you're going to ask him before you ever ask it. You're speaking to a loving father, not some religious monster up there that's trying to get you to do something, just kind of out of character to get his attention. So Jesus says, don't use vain repetition as the heathen do. They think they're going to be heard for their many words. He says, your father knows what you need. So when we go and we pray to God. Now, let me say this now. The Lord's Prayer is an outline. I did not understand that. And when I would read this, when I first got saved and I would read the Lord's Prayer, I would think, I can pray that prayer in less than 60 seconds. And I'm just convinced that God wants me to pray for longer than 60 seconds. This is an outline. Every sentence of the Lord's Prayer is just like a banner, like a big outline heading that we pray under. And let me talk about the seven ingredients or the seven elements of a daily dynamic prayer life is taught by Jesus in the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. There are seven headings in the Lord's Prayer that as we pray this, now I've been praying this way for about 35 years, and so I'm saying I pray this way every day. And it's the easiest way to pray, and when you finish praying this way, whether you've prayed for 5 minutes or you've prayed for an hour, you know you've covered every base. And so here's the number one element of prayer every day is thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Jesus said, pray this way. Father in heaven, by the way, Father in heaven is his name and address. I am not lobbing up a prayer to Krishna, to Allah, to Buddha, or anyone that just happens to be up there that's listening to me, you know, to some far away galaxy that's tuned into my frequency. I am specifically addressing this to my Father in heaven because he's the only living God. He's the only true
God
in this world.
Okay. They don't believe
in God. So Jesus said, "And Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Well, the word hallowed means two things. It means purify and glorify. It means purify and honored. So here's what Jesus is saying. When I'm praying and I'm saying, I say this every day, Father, hallow your name in my life. The number one thing I'm saying is your name is sacred on my lips. I will not use your name to curse. I will not get frustrated and say, Jesus Christ. I will not take the Lord's name in vain. He is not the big guy upstairs. He is the Lord God Almighty. And I will not use my mouth in any way to take his name in vain or to disrespect him. And so that's the number one thing I'm saying. The word hollow means to purify. I'm saying if there's any bugs on the windshield of my heart that keep me from seeing you the way you really are, wash those off. Purify who you are in my life. I want to see you for who you really are. Purify this. Show me who you are and show others who you are through me. Because I'm not going to show God any better than I see God. Okay. So hallow your name to me. If I have hurts from my past, if I have disappointments, if I have concepts of you that are not biblical, hallow those. And the third thing that hallow means is I glorify you, God. I thank you. Before I ask you for anything else, I'm thanking you for being such a good God. You have been so faithful. I praise you, I glorify you, and I just worship God. And this can, again, this can take 2 minutes or 2 hours, but God inhabits the praises of his people. And so God is inhabiting my praise as I'm just sitting there here's one of the things I say to God, and I mean this. I tell the Lord all the time. I told God this week, I am so proud of you. You know, if you'll study all other religions, you'll just get prouder of your God because there's no one like our God. I'm proud of everything about him. He's just a good God. We begin our prayer time by saying, Father in heaven, I'm coming to you as my daddy, and I hallow your name and all the things that means. And it's a very special thing. The second element of prayer is surrendering to God's authority and inviting his guidance into every area of our lives. The second thing Jesus told us to pray is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're coming to God and we're saying, your kingdom come. And this is kind of a forceful, it's more forceful than what this says. It literally means kingdom come in my life. I want you to come. The word kingdom in the Greek language is the word basileia, and it means the direct rule of God. God, I'm submitting myself to you today, and I want your will to be done in my life just like it will be done in heaven. Now, I want you to listen to me. Your concept of God means everything when you're praying. And I want to say something to you, and you need to believe what I'm about to say. If you surrender to God's authority and to His will in every area of your life, God loves you more than you love yourself, and He'll bless you more than you'll ever bless yourself. Now, if you don't believe that, you're deceived. What kept me, you know, when I would read that part of the prayer, I would think to myself, you know, if I really come and surrender to God, and, you know, His will is being done in my life just as it's done in heaven, I'll be a holy Joe somewhere on the other side of the earth, you know, eating beans out of a tin can and by myself. Because God certainly wouldn't want for me what I want for myself. Here's what I've learned. In doing God's perfect will, it'll fulfill every desire that you have, every righteous desire that you have, and you'll wake up and pinch yourself. Because God will do more for you than you'll ever do for yourself. But it begins by saying, I surrender to your authority, and in every area of my life, I want to do your will. Now, when I'm praying this part of the prayer, this is where I'm discovering the will of God. If there's a decision that I'm making, if there's anything that I'm doing, first of all, I'm just saying, I'm reminding myself, I'm under your authority. Everything I'm doing is under you. But God, I want to follow your perfect will, and I just start praying. I'm making this decision. We're thinking about this. We're thinking about this. We're doing this. We're making this decision. Lord, in all of these areas, I want you to speak to me and lead me and lead us so that we're doing exactly here according to your plan there. And so God speaks when we're praying. And again, I'm going to talk next time about hearing God. And once we've prayed that prayer, being able to hear God. And did you know, and listen to me, did you know that you can make every decision in your life 100% correct? When you're praying and asking God to lead you, and you're hearing God and following Him, you will never make a navigational error for the rest of your life. Because that's Jesus is our shepherd. He will lead us into success if we will come and surrender to Him daily. Number three element of prayer is seeking God's provision. As Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is not just a prayer for provision for money. This is a lot broader than that. But I want to go back and say, notice the succession of events. I'm beginning by thanking God. Hallowed be your name. Lord, thank you. Before I ask you for anything else, thank you. The second thing I'm saying is, I surrender to your will. I want to do everything according to your will. The third thing is, Lord, provide for me. Now listen, in Hebrews 6:1, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the elementary principles of the faith, the basics of Christianity. And here's the first one he lists, repentance from dead works. Well, here's what a dead work is. It's anything that God didn't tell you to do. Provision, the word provision means for the vision. When God is leading you and giving you vision in your life for whatever decisions that you're making, the provision naturally will follow. But when you're making your own decisions and then coming back and asking God to pay for them, He won't. Repentance from dead works is the first elementary principle of our faith. And according to Hebrews 6, faith toward God is the second elementary principle. I'm repenting for the cars I've bought, the houses that I've bought, the decisions I've made, the relationships that I've entered into, the jobs that I've taken, the things that I've done with my kids that I never even prayed about. They're dead works. I didn't go to God and ask God to lead me in those things. Those are dead works. Lord, forgive me of those things. Now I come to you and I'm saying, lead me and provide. Wherever God gives you vision, He'll give you the provision. God always energizes what He initiates. So the most important thing in our lives is slow down. Now listen to me. You don't have time not to pray. Prayer takes time. Prayer breaks time. And prayer makes time. Let me give you an example. Let's just say that you skip prayer one day. And you don't surrender something to God, and you don't hear Him say something to you, and you go out and do something on your own. It's a dead work that God won't bless. And you spend months or years trying to repair the damage that that decision made. The financial damage, the relational damage, the stress that it causes in your life. Or you could have stopped to pray. And you could have put your faith in God and asked him for direction, and he would have spoken to you, and you'd have done that, and it would have brought years of blessing in your life. You don't have time not to pray. And when we're praying, we're surrendering to God, and we're saying, God, I'm believing you to lead me, and I'm believing you to provide for me. Now, let me say something. Listen to what I'm saying. You will pray or you will worry. I've had people say to me, Jimmy, you know, I pray, and I know what this is like now, so I'm not talking down to you. I've experienced this. They say, I just don't know what to pray for. Listen, what are you worried about? That's your prayer list. Are you worried about your friends? Are you worried about relationships? Are you worried about money? Are you worried about a job? Jesus says in Matthew 6 concerning prayer, why do you worry, O you of little faith? Your Father knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. Aren't you more valuable than them? Aren't you more valuable than them? He's talking to his disciples. He says, my Father knows everything that you need. Don't worry about your life, what you put on or wear or things like that. He says, all we have to do is develop a relationship, a dependent relationship with God. Listen to me. This is Philippians 4. Be anxious for not one thing, but in every single thing, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes all comprehension will guard your mind and your heart. Don't be anxious for one thing, but in every single thing, with prayer and more prayer, let God know, and the peace that passes comprehension will guard. The word guard there is the Greek word phrureo, and it means a military presence to keep the enemy out. Did you know that fear is of the devil? Anxiety and stress, all of those things, the devil will constantly run at you all day long to wear you out with stress and anxiety and all of those things. But do you know when you pray that the peace of God will set a military presence around your thinking and your emotions to protect you from everything the devil would bring? And when you wake up in the morning, you say, I don't know what to pray about. What are you worried about? Right? Your prayer list is your worry list. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my grandkids. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about money. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my friend. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. Don't worry, pray. But listen to me. If you don't pray, you will worry, and it'll affect your health, and it'll affect your marriage and all your relationships, because it'll wear you out emotionally. Karen and I know when we need to pray because we're worried and we begin to, you know, get on each other's nerves. I don't get on her nerves, but she gets on mine. And here's what I pray for when I pray this part of the prayer. I pray for money, favor, promotion, relationships, open doors, good employees, houses, cars, everything. My daily bread, everything I need today, I go to God and I say, God, I know you love me. And I pray today for this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Favor is a huge issue. Opportunity is a huge issue. Open doors. Everything. And God is a lavish God, and he'll answer those prayers. So we go to him every single day. And again, I want to say, you cannot get closer to God than your concept of him will allow. If you believe he doesn't love you, if you believe he's against you, if you believe he's trying to punish you, if you believe he's selfish and stingy and austere, then you're not going to run and jump in that daddy's lap. But God is a loving father. Now I want you to listen to me now. Okay, are you listening? Listen to me now. I'm a father and I'm a grandfather. And I love being a father and a grandfather. We take our kids out to eat, and I pay the bill. They always fight me for it. It's kind of a, you know, really a weak fight. You know, I know they're, you know, they want me to pay, but they're, God love them for even kind of pretending that they're trying. But do you know what a joy it is to be a father? I love everything I get to do for my children and grandchildren. Every single thing. I want them to want me. I want them to depend on me to a healthy degree. And if they don't, it robs me of the joy of being their father and their grandfather. And they don't have to be perfect. I love them just because they're mine. Can I just tell you, when we don't pray, we rob Him of the joy of being our Father. He's not some big, mean God up in heaven. He is a big, loving daddy. And that's what Jesus said. So when we wake up in the morning and we're praying, we're just saying, Daddy, I'm worried about a lot of things. And I just want to come to you. And He said, Child, what do you need? Number four element is seeking God's forgiveness as we extend forgiveness to others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I don't believe that the important thing here is listing all of our sins and remembering all of our sins. Our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. In other words, if there's something between us and God, we need to talk to God about it. I have an open relationship with God. He knows everything going on in my life, so I might as well talk to Him about it. But God's not grossed out by that stuff. God just loves us. Here's what I do in this part of the prayer. I talk to God about anything I'm struggling about because He knows about it anyway. But I just receive His grace. I don't have to be perfect for God to love me. When I'm asking Him to forgive me, I'm just saying, Lord, forgive me. Give me the grace in this area to overcome this, to do better than I'm doing, to change my desires. But God, I realize I need a lot of grace. And I know that You'll give me as much as I'll give away. So I'm acknowledging today my need for grace and for Your blood in my life. And I'm giving that to everyone that needs it from me, because there's some people I don't feel good about. There's people that, you know, maybe have hurt me or misused me or something like that. And I just make my decision, because this is the only part of the prayer that Jesus repeated. Is in order to walk in grace, we have to be able to give grace away. So when Karen and I pray this together, what we say when we're praying together is we just make a decision to walk in love. We're going to walk in God's love. There's no point system with God. He doesn't love me more when I'm good or less when I'm bad. He's just a very gracious God who's very comfortable in our presence. As long as we're gracious people, we can walk in the fullness of His grace. And so I'm giving away grace, and I'm asking it for myself. Number five is supernatural direction and protection. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God will never lead a person into temptation, but He can lead you out of it. The purpose of this prayer here is not to say, oh God, you know, You're my shepherd. Please don't lead me into, you know, a horrible place of temptation. He would never do that. But here's what I can say. I don't want to be tempted today, God. I don't want to go into a path today that would, you know, seduce me into sin or would be of the evil one to do any harm to me. So I'm asking You, direct me into a path of protection and peace today. And I pray for my children, my grandchildren, pray for you, pray for this church, pray for people that I know are going through difficult circumstances. And this is the area of the prayer that I do spiritual warfare. If I feel like that there is something spiritual going on, a spiritual attack, or some spirit, something happening that is trying to, you know, come against us in any way, Karen and me, our family, us, whatever, that is where I bind and loose. That is where I do spiritual warfare, all under the authority of God as He's leading me. Number six element of the prayer is acknowledgement of divine right. Jesus said, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Not a, the. It's a definite article. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That's a daily prayer. What does that mean? There's three things I can't have. And if I think I have them, I'm deceived. I cannot have a kingdom, I cannot have power, and I cannot have glory. And if I try to build a kingdom by my power and for my glory, I'm living in rebellion against God. Here's what I'm saying, and I remind myself of this every day when I pray. I live for Your kingdom, by Your power, for Your glory. I don't have a kingdom, and I never will, but I'm living for Yours, God. I don't have the ability to do this life without You. I need Your power in my life. You possess the power, and everything good that happens to me, I'm going to give You the glory. Because I don't have a kingdom, I don't have power, and I don't have glory. And there's one other thing, number seven, and that is a declaration of faith in God. Amen. Amen does not mean goodbye. Because you don't say goodbye to God because He's always there. Amen means I believe, let it be so. The word amen means let it be so. I believe You're going to do this. I believe that You heard my prayer. If you don't pray by faith, you know, I've prayed before not by faith. I've prayed before and been just as upset at the end of prayer that I was before. because I didn't put faith in the fact that he was listening to me and he was going to do it. So amen just means everything I just said, I believe you heard me and I believe you're going to do it. And I've prayed this way, like I said, for over 35 years. And when I get through praying, if I pray for 10 minutes or if I pray for 2 hours, this is the way I pray every day. This is the pattern of prayer that Jesus gave us. When you finish praying according to this pattern, you've worshiped God, you've surrendered to God, you've asked him to provide for all of your needs, you've been forgiven, you've extended forgiveness, you've asked for the covering of God as he leads you away from temptation and evil, you've acknowledged his is the kingdom, power, and glory, and you've acknowledged faith in God.
This concludes session one. Please continue with Hearing God, the next teaching in this series.